I'm also about to lose my voice all day since I woke up this morning. So you pray for me that won't happen, my operation. But I trust that God knows what He's doing. I pray all the time. I say, Lord, if I'm going to preach anything wrong, I'll shut my mouth. And so this is not a good sign. let's hope He'll hit me if I'm on track today. But I mean that when I do pray. If the Lord doesn't want me to say something, I don't want to say it. We stick to the Word. Now, God loves His Word. These are the words of life. So we welcome all the visitors this morning. I want you to know that we love you and we care about you. And that we're glad that you're here with us. We've been preaching our way through the book of Nehemiah. We took a little break last week for Easter, but we're going to go back into Nehemiah this morning. So if you want to turn with us in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, we'll be in chapter 7. Nehemiah is an Old Testament book. If you don't know where that's at in the Bible, that's okay. Just ask somebody next to you. They should be happy to show you. Help you find it. But it's Nehemiah chapter 7. For time's sake this morning, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, and for the sake of my own dignity, it's a lot of names and a lot of numbers and those things, a lot of people in this chapter. But I don't want you to think that that means that the names and the numbers are not important. I would assure you this morning that every word of God is important. But instead of focusing on the names, I want to focus on what I believe is the overarching point in Nehemiah chapter 7. And so I want us to read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll drop down and read the last verse, verse 73, in the chapter. Before we read, let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning, God, as we go into your word now, God, we know what the Bible says. It says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And so, God, we know, Lord, that this is your everlasting word, God. We believe it's infallible, God. We believe that it's truth. Lord, we know that we need wisdom to understand it, God. We know that the Holy Spirit can illuminate it for us. And so, God, we just pray, Lord, today that every believer in here would be encouraged by the word, Lord, and that every unbeliever, God, would be convicted by it, God. Lord, not convicted unto damnation, Lord, but convicted to the saving of their soul, God. I pray, Father, Lord, that they would see that their need for a Savior, God, that their need for Christ, that they would see their sin, Lord, as Lord, you revealed mine to me. I'm grateful for that, God. I thank you, Lord, today for your steadfast mercy. God, give us the strength, as our brother prayed this morning, and the boldness and the courage to preach the things you have us to preach today. Give the church ears to hear. Give the lost a heart, God, that's open and ready to receive the good word on good ground. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, it said, Then it was when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother, Hananiah. And Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And I said to them, Do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house. Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not rebuilt. Then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people, that they might be registered by genealogy. And I found a registry of the genealogy of those who had come up in the first return, and found written in it, These are the people of the province who came back from captivity, of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone to his city. And then verse 73 in chapter 7, the last verse. So the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, some of the people, the Nethinim, and all Israel dwelt in their cities. When the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. I hope I can preach maybe another week on the first few verses there, verses 1 through 3. But I'm going to mainly focus on verse 4 because I want to set the context for what I believe the Lord would have me to preach this morning. If you haven't been with us in the study, you need to go back and listen to the other messages. I don't have time to really recap them all today, but they've been rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down in battle. And now, according to chapter 6, and as we go into chapter 7, we see that the walls are finished. They've been rebuilt, the gates have been hung, the doors are hung, and now begins what I would consider to be the really good but difficult work. From here on throughout the rest of the book of Nehemiah, the focus changes from rebuilding the wall to rebuilding the people and actually restoring the rule of God in their lives. You see, God is going to use Nehemiah and some of the leaders here to restore the law, to restore the feast of God. He's going to help them to see their sins. He's going to help restore a covenant in the following chapters to come. But I want to show you what I believe is the main thing that the Lord would have us to understand from chapter 7 this morning. As Nehemiah looks, he sees the walls are restored. But look back in verse 4 now, you'll see what he said. He said, the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not rebuilt. What had happened was, when the people returned from captivity, they went to their cities outside of the walls of Jerusalem, and they built their houses, and they planted their gardens, and their vineyards, and their orchards, so that they were close to Jerusalem, and they could go in and out of the city as they pleased, but they were living in their own cities. And God put this burden in the heart of Nehemiah to see the city of God completely restored. He wanted to see the people of God living and worshiping God in the city of God again. And so what Nehemiah begins to do is he gets the registry book, and you can read between verses 7 and 72. You can see all the names written in the registry book of those who came back from the captivity. And what's going to happen over the next several chapters in the book of Nehemiah is he's going, as the registry happens and the restoration takes place, he's going to ask some of these people to leave their cities. The houses that they built since they returned, the vineyards that they planted, the gardens, the orchards, all these things, he's going to ask them to leave those things behind and move fully into Jerusalem, behind the walls. He wants to see the city restored and filled with God's people. Now, I hope that we can put some spiritual context to this in our lives this morning. I don't believe, let me be clear, I don't believe God is calling us, or at least calling me, I can't speak to what He says to you. I don't believe His God is calling to leave Dickinson County or Wise County or Buchanan County or wherever you're from. I don't think God is calling us to leave those places and go to Jerusalem. That's not what I'm trying to preach, but what I do believe is that Jerusalem represented God's city in the Old Testament. And I believe in the New Testament, Christ and the church represent God's kingdom. So I believe that there are many people today in the same condition of the people that we read about here in Nehemiah chapter 7. They've got an established city of their own that they have built their lives in. They don't mind getting sort of close to, like they did there, they'll get close to Jerusalem. I believe people today don't mind to get close to Christ. They don't mind to get close to His church so that they can enjoy some of the good benefits of the kingdom of God and some of the great things the people of the kingdom of God might do. But they don't want to leave their own city and to go in fully into this city. And so I believe the call for us today, again, spiritually speaking, is to come out of our own cities and to go fully into the kingdom of God. I believe God wants us to be fully in. I believe He wants to see us leave the cities of this world behind and to come fully into His kingdom and into the church and to be completely dedicated to living the Christian life. And so I want to preach to you with that thought in mind this morning. Now let me say this.
I'll say it up front. I don't know everybody's spiritual condition this morning. I don't know the things that are going on in your heart. So the things I say today, I can simply say out of a heart of love for God and His Word and for you. But I want to preach these things today. I'm not preaching anything new. I'm not preaching anything that most of you haven't heard several times before. But these are the things that God has burdened my heart with, and by God's grace, I'll preach these things until I'm finished with the work that God has called me to do. I got my little part that I'll do, and then when I'm done, somebody else will come along and do their part. There are lots of people, and you got to hear me out today. There are lots of people who claim to be Christians, but they're living in a very dangerous condition. They're not safe. They want to be, but they're not. Listen, they're uninterested in the Christian life. They're fine being kind of close to it. They're fine kind of being near the church, but when it comes to really trusting God and living out the truths of Scripture in their daily lives, they're not interested. They're not interested. That's the way many people in Nehemiah's day had become. They had become fine with broken walls. They had become distracted in their own cities, building their own houses, doing their own work. And they were fine being near, close enough to Jerusalem, but not inside of it. And listen, when Nehemiah saw the condition of the city, not just the walls, but just all of it in general, he said this. He said it was a reproach. You know what that word means? That means disgrace. When he looked at it, he said it's a disgrace to see Jerusalem in the condition that it's in. Listen, I'm going to say this morning. It may come off harsh. I don't mean for it to. But when someone calls themselves a Christian, but they don't live their life in a way that reflects Christ and His Word, they are a reproach. They become a reproach to the church. They become a reproach to the kingdom of God and a reproach to Christ. Now, that may sound harsh, but again, we have to preach the truth. I'm preaching in love this morning. I hope by God's grace today that somebody listening deep down in their heart, that they may be really considering some things and realizing that they're not living or experiencing the Christian life the way God intended for it to be lived and experienced. Now what I mean by that is that there are professing Christians, people who claim to be Christian, that are not living their life according to the Word of God. They don't pattern their life based on God's instruction to His people. Their life is patterned by the world instead of by the Word. And they're missing out. And it burdens my heart, like Nehemiah felt a burden in his, because they're not experiencing the blessing of living by faith. They're not experiencing the peace and the joy and the contentment and the love and the grace and the satisfaction that comes from living by faith and walking in truth and trusting in Christ. They're not experiencing those things. They're living a divided life. They want both cities. They want the world and the church. They want the world's approval and God's approval. They want the world's blessings and God's blessings. You see, the problem is that there are many professing Christians today whose heart really loves the things of this world. They live for the things of this world, and they're okay to try to get close enough to God and to the church to feel safe and to feel blessed. But some of them will even try to earn a little credit with God by going through the religious motions and doing some of those things. But I want you to understand today, I want to bring to your remembrance what the Scripture says. James chapter 4 verse 4 says this. He said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever wants to be a, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's the truth. That's the hard truth of the scriptures. It's a reality though. There are lots of people today not heeding the warnings of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, it's not just James. Listen to what John said. He said, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now he said, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now listen, I'm telling you that this is the very reason that so many people today who call themselves Christians are miserable. They're miserable. Because in reality, they're living a divided life. They're trying to serve God and mammon. They're trying to walk the fence. They're trying to be in the world and in the church, and it's not possible. It's not possible. Can I tell you something else? This is the very reason that so many that are lost today want nothing to do with Christ and His church. Because they see people. They see people who say that they're Christians, but their lives don't reflect Christ. There's no evidence of a real love for Christ and a real love for His bride, the church. They don't know the Bible that they claim to believe. Now you think about this.
It's true.
I'm preaching for your life today. People who call themselves Christians, if you just got saved, it's one thing. You can't possibly know your Bible. But Christian people that have been in the church for ages and years and they still don't even know what the Bible says, but yet they claim to believe the Bible is the Word of God. So when a lost person says, well, what do you believe about this? Or why do you believe that? They don't know. They don't know. They don't know what they believe. The truth is, they're too busy for their Bible. They don't worship. They don't faithfully worship the God they claim to love. They have other priorities. They call Him Lord, but they don't do the things that He says. Church, we went to Nehemiah after the Sermon on the Mount for a reason. When Jesus was finishing the Sermon on the Mount, He ended with some very powerful words. I'm going to bring them back to your remembrance this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. He said this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you workers of iniquity. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Now just listen to what he says here. Those that hear these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Amen? But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Those are sobering words. And they confirm to us, if nothing I say resonates, then just hear what the Word of God just said. Those words confirm to us that it's very possible to have a profession without true salvation. You can see clearly that the people that the Lord was talking about thought they had it figured out. They were doing some good things for God. They called Him Lord. See, they had a profession with their mouth. They had some religious works. But when the truth of their heart was revealed, it turns out they were not in Christ. He didn't know them. They were trusting in a few religious works, not in the death and resurrection of Christ. Just listen to the words they said. Lord, we have done. Lord, look at what we've done. We've done these works in Your name. And they did some impressive things. But what we see here is any works that we think that we're doing to attain righteousness, it doesn't impress God. They were deceived. They were overtaken by a false gospel. They thought a profession with a few works behind it was enough, but it's not. This is the false gospel of easy believism, and it's so prevalent today. Just say you're a Christian, just say you believe, go to church when you can, when the opportunity's right, when it's convenient for you. Be nice to people, do good things, and you're saved. You're saved. Listen to me, friends. Don't be overtaken by that great deception. Don't think that just because you say you believe and you do a few religious works that you're born again. What you need to know this morning, if you don't hear much else, hear this. What you need to know this morning is this. Do I have the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit living inside of me? Has my heart been changed? Am I trusting in Christ alone? Am I in Christ? Is the mark of true and saving faith and repentance evident in my life? Do I have a hatred for the sins I once loved? Do I now love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I love God more than anything else? Have I been crucified with Christ? Is Christ my life? Is He my everything? Do I have His Word written in my heart? Is there a desire in me to know Him above everything else? So much so that I'm willing to forsake all and follow Him. Have I been born again by the Spirit of God? You say, preacher, you're preaching some kind of radical gospel. No, friend, I'm preaching the biblical gospel. Luke chapter 14, verse 33 says, so likewise whoever of you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's not my words. Those are the words of Christ. Christ said, if anybody wants to be my disciple, he must pick up his cross and follow me. These are the words of our Savior. It sounds radical in our ears to hear it. It sounds like this radical thing. But I'm telling you today, friend, it's only that way because we hear so much false gospel today. Someone said this to me the other day. A good brother, he said this. And I thought about it a lot since he said it. He said, it's hard to unlearn what you've been taught to believe your whole life. It's hard to unlearn what you've been taught to believe your whole life. And amen to that. Many of us, many of you have been exposed to false gospels your whole life. You've been exposed to this easy believism gospel, this just say you're a Christian and do good things and be nice to people gospel, where there is no expectation of an inward change, no new heart, no faith filled with love for Christ and His church, no repentance, none of those things. There's no sanctification, no growth, no study of the Word, no call for obedience and love to Christ. And so it sounds radical. It does sound radical, but it's really just biblical. And there, and I get it. When you look around and see everybody else, and you see that they're not living it, and you look at these like, well, this person says they're a Christian, that person says they're a Christian, this one over here says they're a Christian. They don't, they're not living this way. They're not trying to learn God's Word. They're not trying to hide it in their heart that they might not sin against God. They're not trying to follow the New Testament commands and to be a light to the world. They're caught up in everything else. So if they can do it, why can't I? I'm telling you that you can. You can do that if you want to. And you can believe the same false gospel that they believe, but it leads to hell. It's not the real thing. The real gospel, the real truth is this. You're in Christ and you're all in. Or you're not in. It's hard. It's hard. We've been having some big crowds. I'm thinning them out. You know what the truth is? That's a joke. But you know what the truth is? The truth is, I think people are hungry for truth. I think people want to hear truth. I think they're tired of something that don't work. They're tired of religion that leads nowhere. They want the gospel of Christ. They want the real thing. They want to know what it is. And guys, we need the real thing. We need the real thing. We went to that book, to the book of Nehemiah, for that very reason. So that we could ensure what Christ said there at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when he said, there's a wise builder and a foolish. I want to ensure that each one of us is like the wise builder and not the foolish. Listen, the foolish builder, he hears the teachings of Christ. He hears the Word of God, but he doesn't do them. He doesn't do them. In the book of James, James talks about them as well. James 1, 22 through 25. This one said, he says, but be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man that observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And this one will be blessed in what he does. Do you hear that? You see the forgetful hearers, the ones who hear but don't do, they're self-deceived. It says deceiving their own selves. They observe themselves for a moment, but then immediately they forget what they saw. They forget what they saw. It's just like in the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, "You can see, this is true this morning. You could sit in this church this morning and this be very, very true for you." Jesus said, the Word is sown in their hearts. The Word is sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. Think about that. But the wise builder, he hears the truth of God, and because he trusts in the living God with all his heart, he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and does the work that's needed. That's what James said. And James said this about that man in verse 25. He said, this one is blessed in what he does. He is blessed in what he does. And Jesus talked about him in the parable of the sower too. In Mark chapter 4, verse 20, Jesus said, these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the Word and accept it and bear fruit. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen. Do you understand the difference between a forgetful hearer that doesn't do, the one who sits in a church on Sunday morning, hears the preaching, and says, oh yeah, I see, I gotta make some changes. Do you know how many times as Christians, people say, they'll hear a sermon, or they'll do a study, and they'll say, oh, I gotta change some things about my life. Boy, that was powerful. They'll say these things, and then they go home, and nothing changes. Nothing changes. It stays the same. Do you know why? It's because exactly what Jesus said right there. That word, it was sowed into your heart, but Satan came and took it from you. He took it from you. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to hear the word. Now look at what it says. It's right on the screen in front of you. Hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit.
Yep.
You've got to take the word you hear today, or last week, or next week, or whatever week, take the word and set it deep into your heart, and don't go home and say, well, I'm going to make a change one day, I'm going to get there. You today, you go to work today, you start to bear fruit now. You go to work to do what the Word of God says to do. And by the way, I love how James described the Word of God. He called it the perfect law of liberty. That's exactly what it is, especially to those of us that are born again. It's a perfect law. In other words, it has authority over us. God's Word has authority over me and over every true Christian. But it's also a law of liberty because it shows us how to live free and from sin's prison, how to live free from the bondage of this world, and how to be free from the wrath to come. It's the perfect law of liberty. And that's true liberty. Amen. And that's the gospel that I'm preaching to you this morning. Listen to me. This gospel that I preach to you this morning, it's not a gospel of works. I'm not trying to say that somehow you can earn your way into the kingdom. What I'm telling you is the true gospel is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. But by God's grace, you can't have it. It's a free gift of God to those who will believe. But let me tell you this. This gospel, if you take that gift of God, if you really believe it, it'll turn your life upside down. It'll transform you and change you. It's going to make you a new creation. You will not, you cannot be the same. If the Spirit of God is living in you, everything is different. You will not, Lord help us. You cannot be content in your sin.
Amen.
Amen. The things of this world, although they might have some, and listen, I don't want you to think when I say the things of this world that I mean just everything that's not necessarily considered Christian. I'm talking about the systems and the ways and the workings of this world, the evil things that are taking place. You won't be content, and you cannot be satisfied in this world. Only the things of God can satisfy a believer. Those that are living divided lives, you can't be satisfied in that. You can't be satisfied with one foot in and one foot out. No, see, your heart, your soul, your spirit, if you're born again, they crave fellowship with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Your soul, if you're a born-again believer, your soul desires His Word. It's like food to your soul. You crave it. You desire communion with God, with Christ. You desire worship. You desire fellowship with other believers. You long for those things. And there'll be this great joy and this peace and this hope that fills you. So, in my opinion, we have every reason to believe that someone who's born again, they will depart from a life of love of iniquity. They'll depart from their sin. They'll turn to God. They'll joyfully forsake the world because Christ has set them free from it. They'll read and study His Word. They'll be a faithful part of the body of Christ and a faithful person, member of a local fellowship of believers who worship God in spirit and truth, that their lives will be transformed. Their new life will be lived according to the Word of God. And day after day after day, they will become more and more like Christ. They'll grow in grace and knowledge. They'll mortify the deeds of the flesh. They'll add to their faith virtue and the virtue all these other things. And listen, they're going to mature and it'll be visible. You'll be able to see it. And if that doesn't happen, I believe we have every reason to believe that that person is living outside of the kingdom of God, no matter what their profession is. Will they be perfect? No. Will they be sinless? No. Will they be growing in grace and knowledge? Yes. Will they be transformed? Yes. Will the Spirit produce His fruit in their life? Yes. Will they walk by faith? Yes. Will they seek the Lord and desire obedience? Yes. Will they be joyful and satisfied in Christ? Yes. Will they be faithful to worship God in spirit and in truth? Yes. Will they be faithful to love the other believers? Yes. These are the things the Scripture declares about a Christian. If you say, well, that's not how I am, that's not how I feel, then you need to become a Christian. You need to be born again, you need to be saved. That's not radical, that's biblical. You see, there are some plagues upon us today. Diseases, deceptions, and they are being spread from pulpits and from you know, public figures and all these things. These are dangerous things. There is a calculated and methodical movement to move us away from the true gospel of the Word of God, which has the power of God in it to make people born again. That's what Peter said. He said in verse 23 of chapter 1, he said, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. See, there's a move to take us away from the true gospel and the Word of God and to take us to new versions of Christianity. New versions that are not really biblical. And they're not really Christian at all. These new versions that they preach, they're dangerous and they're disguised well. You see, in all these new versions, they take partial elements of the truth and they twist them and they remove the full message of the Bible. And they take away from the full gospel. And I'm telling you today, we're living in times of great deception. The Scripture talks of a great falling away. We're seeing it. We've been studying in Revelations on Wednesday nights. And as difficult as that book is, and as difficult as it has been, it's been very good for me because I'm reminded each week as we study of the need to be on guard and to watch for these deceptions and to be ready to stand against them, to have my heart firmly established in the truth of God's Word. Because if I don't, I may end up like one of the foolish virgins. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins? All 10 of them thought they were waiting for the bridegroom. All 10 of them were there together. But when the bridegroom came, only 5 were ready. Only 5 had oil. I don't want to be like a foolish virgin with no oil for my lamp. I want to be ready when the Son of God comes. I want to be ready to meet Him. If you're not a part of that study, you need to start coming. We're learning a lot, and it's hard, and it's not, and I'll tell you right now, if you come, it's difficult, but it's important. But there's these new versions of Christianity out there. Listen, I'll just tell you just briefly a couple of things. I'm almost done. The focus in these, in the new Christianity, the Christianity today, and I marked it out in my notes, but I'm going to say it now, in what we can almost carefully call Americanized Christianity. The focus is not really on Christ and His church. The focus is on individualism. It's on, in other words, this new version of Christianity, see, it's characterized by this personal, individual, private salvation instead of what the Bible says, which is you become a part of the family of God, the body of Christ. And there's nothing private or personal or individual about it. It's about community. It's about family. It's about His church. It's about all of us. But not in our version. Not in the version today. See, in the version today, it's all just about you. It's just about you having the things right that you want and you being satisfied and you having your salvation. See, that's evidenced by the lack of evangelism in the church today. By the lack of Christians coming together to go out and spread the gospel into the world. As long as they're good, it's fine. It's evidenced by the fact that people today have so little regard for others. If they hurt them, if they're not there for them, if whatever they do, it doesn't matter. They don't care. It's evidenced by the fact that they don't put others above themselves. They put themselves above others. See, they put their self first. It's evidenced by the fact that they don't worry about faithfulness to the body of Christ, where God has called them to use their gifts to serve. And I'm not just talking about church attendance. I'm talking about faithfulness to the family of God. It's evidenced. They don't worry about that. I'll come. I'll be a part. I'll do what I want. And everybody will have to like it, because really my Christianity is all about me. It's about me. Isn't that something today? They have a consumeristic mentality. I'll go to the church where I get served, rather than to the church so I can serve.
Amen.
I'll be content while others are working around me. I'll be content to watch them. I'm preaching. I told you wouldn't like today. I warned you from the beginning. That doesn't mean I don't love you, amen? I preach it because I do. Because I do. Rather than going to a church that's faithful to the Scriptures and that will hold me accountable and that will discipline me when I need it and that will help me along the journey and disciple me, I'll just go to a church that doesn't bother me, that doesn't really convict me. I'll just go to one of those places so that I don't have to worry about all of this. As long as they're meeting my needs, that's all that matters. You see, the ultimate goal in this new version of Christianity is happiness and self-fulfillment. That's what it boils down to. A lot of the new Christians today, now I don't mean people that were recently saved, I mean the people who believe this new doctrine, is this. They want comfort. They want ease. They want popularity. They want relevance. They want wealth. They want all those things. And if the worship of God or the Word of God prevents them from experiencing that happiness or that comfort or that popularity or that wealth, then you know what they'll do? They'll ignore it. They'll throw that word to the side and they'll say, that was for a long time ago. That's not for today. That was for then. This is now. This is a different life. This is a different world. It doesn't apply to me. They'll ignore it. And you better not question it. You better not question it. Because I said I'm a Christian. You have to believe I am one. Wrong. I want you to know that's wrong. I want you to know it's wrong from the bottom of my heart. Just because you say you're something doesn't mean you are.
And I want to ask you this question. Why would you settle for a dangerous gospel that's powerless to save? Why would you settle for some pretend relationship with God? Why would you settle for a few good works and a false profession? Why would you want to live in a divided life where deep down, and I know this because I tried to live it too, where deep down you know you're not really close to God, and so you don't really enjoy church, but you can't really enjoy the world either because then you lose the appearance that you love God. Why settle for that? Instead, why don't you do this? Why don't you get rid of it all and go all in for Christ? Why don't you go all in? Why don't you move out of your own city and come back into the city of God? Why don't you go for it all in? Full surrender. Why don't you go to experience the true blessings of Christ? Why don't you look at His Word and say, you know what, God, it may be difficult at times, the way may be narrow at times, but you know what? If you want it for me, I want to do it. I want to live it. I want to follow it with all my heart. Why don't you let go of worrying about what everybody else in the world thinks about you and what everybody in the world says and what everybody else believes? And why don't you trust in the living God who's able to save you from your sin? That same burden that Nehemiah felt, and that same thing that God is going to use Nehemiah to accomplish, is what I feel this morning. I want you to leave behind your own sins and come into the kingdom of God. I want you to stop trying to be just close enough to have both. Come and take up residence in the kingdom of God. You got to come through the narrow gate. You say, well, what's that mean? That means you got to come the only way you can come, through Christ. He's the only way. You come that way. You come through Christ. You trust in Him. You believe in Him. You go full-hearted, all in. Build your life in Christ. Build it on the foundation of the Word of God. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're lost, I want you to hear this. There is a great deception that has kept many, many people in the darkness of sin. I've been preaching it to you week after week, and I'm not going to stop. I want you to understand it. It's this false gospel that you can get into heaven by being a good person. You cannot. You cannot. That you can somehow get in by doing good things. That somehow your good deeds erase your sins against God. I'm telling you this morning, that's a lie from hell. God is not impressed with your so-called goodness or any of your good deeds. God is impressed with His Son. And if you aren't in Him, you won't enter the kingdom of God. That's the only way. It's not enough to be close to the kingdom. You say, well, one day maybe I will, but for now, I'm doing the best I can. I'm coming to church. I thank God that you're doing that. I want you to keep doing that. I'm grateful for that. But I want you to know in no uncertain terms, if between now and the day that you come to the Lord, you die, you will perish. It don't matter how many times that you come and sit through a church service. It doesn't matter how many times you heard the gospel. It doesn't matter how many times that you sit through an altar call. It won't be enough. What's enough is you giving your life to Christ and trusting the blood of Jesus to wash your sins away. That's what it takes this morning. That's what must be done today. Today is that day for you, friend. And you say, well, I just don't feel it. I just don't feel like it's right. Friend, I'm telling you, you're rolling the dice. You're playing a game that you cannot win. You will die, and if you die in your sins, Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. You cannot be with me. You need the blood of Christ. You need it today. It's urgent. There's an urgency behind the gospel call to you this morning. You are going to perish without Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. I think about Paul. Paul preached to Agrippa, and Agrippa said this to Paul. He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me
to be a Christian. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian, friend. That's where some of you sit today. You think you've heard the gospel. You think, well, I'm almost persuaded to try to do this. I want you to know, to be almost persuaded is to be totally lost. It's to be totally lost. It won't be enough if you stand before God. Come fully in. Don't be almost persuaded. Be fully in. Be convinced today. I'm telling you the gospel truth. Christ died for your sins, and Christ rose again on the third day, just as He said He would. Christ was sinless, and He was the perfect sacrifice for sins, and there is none other than this man Jesus. You have to come through and by Him. You say that's just the old gospel. It's the same gospel that's always been. It's the only one that will ever be. It's the only one that can save. You say, well, I'm sick of hearing about it. Well, you might as well not come back. We're going to preach it next week and the week after and the week after that, because it's the gospel of salvation. It's the power of God to everyone who believes. It'll save your soul. And if you don't like it this morning, if you say, you know what, I just don't believe this, friend, I'm telling you today, you're under the great deception of an enemy. Snap out of it. Wake up. It's high time. This world is going away. This world is going to perish. It's going to burn with a great fire. Christ is going to return. When He does, you better be ready. You better have your soul covered in the blood of Christ. Your sins have to be put away from you, friend, and He is the only way. The only way. You best believe. Believe the gospel. Trust in Christ. Go all in for Him today. All in. All in. There's no other way. There's no other way. Those of you that's playing church, I don't know who you are. And I'm not trying to call you out. I don't have somebody in my mind this morning. I don't want you to think that. But those of you that are playing church, that are outside, and you're just trying to make, you're trying, you know you don't feel it. You know you don't. You know it's not there. I'm telling you today, you can get the real thing. You can come to Christ, you can get the real thing. Those that's cold and those that's turned, I don't want to use the term lukewarm. I just want to say it this way. Those of you that have maybe been like the prodigal, and you're trying to live in the world and do the things of the world, but the Father's love is in you, and it calls to you. It's time to come to your senses. It's time to come home. It's time to come back to the Father. And this is the good news of the gospel, is that God is a great, loving, and merciful God. And if you come to Him, you'll do just like the Father did there in the old story of the prodigal son. You come to your senses and you say, Lord, I want to confess that I have sinned against You. I have sinned against heaven. I'm not fit to be called Your son. I'm only fit to be called a servant. But you know what, God? God didn't call Him a servant. God welcomed Him in. The Father welcomed Him in. He said, kill the fatted calf, get the ring and the robe, and put the ring on his finger, the robe on his back, get the feast ready. It's time to celebrate. This my son, which was lost, has now come home. Friend, I'm telling you today, that can be your story today. You came in one way, you can leave another. But it's up to you this morning as we stand together. I give you the invitation. If you come to believe in Christ, if you've trusted in Christ in your heart, you want to let that be known to the world today. You want the world to know that you believe this gospel. You believe Christ died and that He rose again, and you believe that His blood is enough to cover your sins, that He's the perfect sacrifice, and that you need a Savior. Won't you come forward today? Won't you come forward and kneel down? Let some of the church gather around you, pray with you. You don't have to make a speech. You don't have to do anything. That's not what we're trying to get you to do. But we'd love to pray with you and rejoice with you. If you're a Christian today and you become a Christian, we want to know that. We want to know that. Would you step out today in faith and come? If you're lost, why don't you come today? Think about this. I want you to think. Christ offers you eternal life, salvation to all who believes.
and you're going to turn it away. For what? For a few things in this world? For a few years of what you think will be pleasure that will only end up in regrets? Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. About that. What about
you?
Lord. Why would you come? Why would you come? If she humbled herself down, can you not humble yourself down? Would you come this morning? Would you come? Would you come and shave the skins? Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's time to lay them down. It's time to come to Christ. It's time to make them. Would you come? Would there be anybody else today that wants to be saved, wants to be born again, wants to be a Christian? I believe the angels rejoice. And I'm about to myself. Don't miss it, friend. Don't put it off. Don't sit. Listen to me just for another second. I'm not trying to labor on. Don't sit. Or stand there in your pride and think to yourself, no, I'm not doing this. Don't let the enemy cheat you out of this today. If you can believe the gospel, you can be saved today. If you just believe and trust and let God will make you born again. Do you not want it today? Do you not want Him? Was what He did for you not enough? Was it not good enough for Him? One day God's going to tell you, it's the only thing that He'll accept. Would you come? Christians, I'm asking you today, those of you that are maybe been on riding the fence a little bit, walking in the world, you need to come pray today. I'm going to give you that call as well. If you're a professing believer, but you've been walking a little bit in the world, won't you come pray? Step out in faith and come pray today. Ask God to help you to get back centered on the right track, to get back on the way that you should be. Anybody need that today? Anybody at all? Offering that up to you.